Go ahead. Poke the Blair. This is the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
Hello, San Francisco. Oh, we finally got a chance to meet.
It'll be Tim Hudson on the mound for the San Francisco Giants tonight against right-hander Jeremy Guthrie as the World Series shifts focus to AT&T Park, to the National League Park. That means the designated hitter will not be in place. It means Billy Butler will likely be reduced to bench duty. That means there will be a big hole in the Kansas City Royals lineup. I wonder who'll step in to fill that. Let's ask Kevin Barker, my Baseball Central co-host, who joins us on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Have you come down from last night's resounding win by your Broncos?
I have not. I'm on cloud nine. I was wondering how long it would take you to ask me a question about the Broncos. As much as I know you love football.
Uh-huh.
So it only took, what, about 3 seconds?
Uh-huh.
For you to watch. Well, I knew you were watching the best team in the NFL last night, so.
That would not be true.
You're a Bills fan.
No, I'm not a Bills fan. We don't talk about who I cheer for. Because,
no, we don't.
No, that's.
Oh, how's it going?
It's going well. Getting good. Ready to watch some baseball tonight. How's it going good. With you? Good? Everything good?
Going good. Just watching a little football and looking forward to the World Series games.
What happens tonight? For Kansas City, we can expect that they won't have Billy Butler. There's no DH in effect, obviously, in the National League. Hey, Kevin, first of all, before we talk about that, shouldn't the DH be in both leagues? Are you a fan of the DH, or like I am, and I'm a convert. I covered the National League. I used to think the DH sucked. Then I got over covering the American League, and I thought this is a lot more interesting than watching some hitter square to, or some pitcher, you know, square around a bunt, or watching some pitcher, you know, take a punch and Judy swing at a ball and foul it off. I love the DH. Are you a fan of the DH?
I am. I think it gives, first of all, if you're a player, you got to like it because it gives extra jobs. It gives guys more chances to make teams. It gives, you know, a guy that's not a very good defender a chance to actually play in a World Series. An example is Billy Butler. He's not a very good defender, but he's a presence in a lineup. And you know, when you think of the Kansas City Royals the last 4 or 5 years, who do you think of? Billy Butler. So, you know, I'm a fan of the designated hitter. I think it's good. I think the more times you can keep the pitcher on the bench, the better. I just think they're, you know, when you're a fan, you come to watch a guy pitch. You don't really come to watch him hit. And you know, there's different aspects of games, and you just hate to see it. I hate to see a game decided on not getting a bunt down or not getting a hit and run or not doing something right and it being the pitcher's fault. So I like the designated hitter for numerous reasons.
What happens to Kansas City in this game without Billy Butler? Who has to step up for them?
Well, you know, I think it's more times than not, I think if you look at recent past, if you look at numbers, this game is the most important when it's tied 1-1. I think out of the last 19 games, 16 teams that's won game three tied 1-1 wins the World Series. So with that being said, you would think Kansas City has to do what they do best, and that's get on base. And it starts with Escobar. I think more times being this game, you have to go out and score first. And Kansas City is going to have to be that team today that scores first, because if they score first, they put pressure on Tim Hudson and they take the pressure off of Jeremy Guthrie, which is a big deal because, you know, Jeremy Guthrie doesn't have a whole lot of experience in the playoffs. And when your second game in the playoffs is the third game of the World Series on the road, it's going to be a tough spot. So Kansas City's got to get on base early, and they got to do what they do, which is run like crazy. And if they can do that, they got a good shot. But if they don't do that and they fall behind with that crowd, with San Francisco, and I'm sure it's going to be windy and cold, and it's just going to be a lot of different things. So Kansas City's got to score often and early tonight.
Kevin Barker joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Tim Lincecum has undergone an MRI. We await the results on that. Hunter Strickland has had a lot of issues with the gopher ball in the postseason. I think if you're Bruce Bochy right now, you probably have to stay away from him. Kevin, do you think that, not just because Kansas City won game two, but do you think the way they did it might have changed the tone of this series a little bit? The fact that they got to that bullpen, and even if Hunter Strickland doesn't pitch again, at least now the Kansas City Royals don't have to put up with everybody saying that, you know, that Giants bullpen and the wizardry of Bruce Bochy is too much for them.
Well, yeah, I think so. But I think Strickland's a weird guy just because he throws 97 to almost 100. But, you know, you get back to, we talk about all the time on our show that when guys stay in the middle of the plate, which meaning they throw a lot of balls on that white part and not on the black part of the plate, you're going to get hit no matter how hard you throw. And Strickland's a prime example of a guy that throws balls pretty much right down the middle, center cut, and you see what happens even in the big leagues when guys do that. So I think the Giants are what they are. They're gonna do what they do, and I think they're just like Kansas City. I mentioned Kansas City has to score first. Well, the Giants have to get in the game. They have to get Tim Hutz in the lead. They have to get the fans in the game. They have to get that place rocking. And what that does is that puts pressure on a young team, meaning Kansas City. And when you get the lead, it stays away from that bullpen, which is Kansas City's strength. We all know, you know, if they win the World Series, me and you will probably be talking about there being one of the best bullpens ever.
Mm.
So, you know, the Giants have to go out and do exactly the same thing Kansas City has to do, but it's going to be very interesting with no DH, and you haven't mentioned Ned Yost. I think that's going to be a big factor in this series because, let's face it, the National League thing, you have to make a lot of decisions. And, you know, when you flip-flop guys, he likes to make defensive changes in the sixth, moving, you know, guys from center to right and vice versa. So it's going to be a little bit harder to do that in the National League. You know, it's going to be interesting to watch all of that take place. And then on the other side, you have Bruce Bochy, which is arguably one of the best managers we've ever seen.
Kevin Barker joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Kevin, there's a lot of chatter out there right now that both Bob Elliott of the Toronto Sun in particular reporting that a lot of teams have checked in with the Blue Jays on the availability of Adam Lind. Now, the Jays have an option to exercise on Lind, and I've got to think it's a given considering his ability to hit right-handers.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do with Adam Lind if you're the Blue Jays?
Well, you know, we talked about all the other positions. You start at second base, and who's going to know what's going on at third base? Who's going to be your left fielder? Who's going to be your center fielder? So with that being said, you have to score runs. And Adam Lind, you can say what you want about him hitting left-handers, but hitting right-handers, he's very good. His power numbers are a little down, but he's still, if he can stay healthy and play 150 games as your DH, man, it would be real hard not to re-sign him. To me, it's a no-brainer. To you, it's a no-brainer. But again, it has to be the right fit. And he has to actually want to come back and play here. You know, I think it's when you get to that point in your career, you can say yes or no now. And, you know, he's a sweet swinging left-hander. There's a lot of teams that may want him. You know, the Yankees could want him, but with that short porch and right. So I'm sure he has lots of options, but, you know, it would be a great fit for the Blue Jays.
Yeah, my concern is, and I know we've talked about this often, but when you look at the openings the Blue Jays have for everyday position players in the field, I'm going to put the DH aside for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
If I have to move a guy who I'm going to use as my DH in order to address, for example, the second base situation or to get that third baseman that will allow me to move Brett Laurie to second, I'd almost rather move that guy and then try to replace him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's through signing a minor league free agent or just signing another proven left-handed bat if it's out there. Do you think maybe the Blue Jays might take that approach with this? That, yeah, it'd be great to have Adam Lind because he does absolutely destroy right-handed pitching. But if we can address that other area, we can perhaps find another bat that may not equal what Adam gives you against left-handers. But at the end of the day, you're going to be a stronger team because you've got the new position player in place.
Well, I think you could look at it many different ways like that, but I think it gets down to, like you said, what makes your team better? And you look around all those other teams. To me, I think in the American League East, Baltimore might be the only team that may fall off a little just by, you know, it was very surprising with their pitching. So with that being said, you have Tampa Bay, you have the Yankees, you have the Red Sox that are all going to be a lot better teams. Well, the Blue Jays are going to have to keep up with that. And when you have a veteran left-hander that can do what Adam Lind does and can do it on an everyday basis, and it's not something that, you know, you can pencil him in regardless of who's pitching on the right-handed side, it's just going to be hard to go out and find that. It's going to be hard to go out and find a guy that knows the strike zone, that doesn't strike out a lot, that does the little things to help you win. And, you know, who knows where the Blue Jays are going to go with all those positions you just mentioned. This one, you really don't. It's like when we started talking about the bullpen and we talked about Aaron Sanchez, the back of the bullpen. Well, I think me and you both agree that's not something the Blue Jays have to go out and get because they already have it. So you can look at the same thing with Adam Lind. And, you know, it's the Blue Jays right now, to me, with what you just mentioned, they have a lot of decisions to make, and Adam Lind, to me, shouldn't be one of them.
Casey Jansen will join Mike Wilner on his pregame show today. I think we're of the same mind, Kevin, that Casey Jansen will not be back with the Blue Jays next year. Is Casey Jansen to you, is he a guy who can still close, or would Casey Jansen be best served signing someplace where he can be used as a setup guy, a guy capable perhaps every now and then of coming in and closing out a game?
I think with the way he did last year, which was, you know, I think we can say that Casey Jansen last year didn't have his best year. And, you know, you're getting a little bit older. You've had some injuries. It may get to a point where, you know, like it was in my career, I'll just say you don't have a choice. Here's what we got for you. You're either going to pitch the seventh inning, the eighth inning, or the ninth inning, and it's going to be up to you how good you do on which role you're going to be in, meaning you're going to come to spring training and you're going to fight for one of those three positions. Now, he's obviously going to be on a team because he has control down and away. He can throw a slow breaking ball and he gets guys out. But other than that, this year, he had a tough time doing it consistently. So, to me, I think he's going to have to come in on a different team and maybe earn that position. And, you know, you can say what you want to say about Casey Jansen. He's got a lot what you need being a closer, and it's just going to be hard, I would think. If, say, he would go to a Yankees team with that short porch and right, you just have to throw a little bit harder. Your stuff has to break a little bit more. And, you know, it's going to be tough for him going down the road just to make that change of being a closer and now not being a closer. So the answer to your question, I think he could be, but I don't think he's going to have that decision. It's not going to be his decision.
Kevin, good of you to join us today.
Yeah, thanks, Blair.
You be well. Care. That's Kevin Barker. He's our Baseball Central analyst on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Sometimes baseball Blue Jays Central analyst as well. We appreciate Mr. Barker joining us as we get you set for Game 3 of the World Series tonight from San Francisco. Jeremy Guthrie against Tim Hudson. And the Royals looking to build on that rebound performance in Game 2. The Giants conversely looking for a rebound of their own after a relatively easy win in Game 1. So I want to talk a little bit about Adam Lind. Multiple reports now in the media that Adam Lind has, that the Blue Jays, I should say, have received multiple calls of inquiry from teams about Adam Lind, which is probably no surprise, given his ability to hit right-handed pitching and given the relative cheapness of his contract, of the option year of his contract. It would make sense that teams would look at Adam Lind. I don't know how many teams would look at Adam Lind as a first baseman. I would think that most of the market for Adam Lind would be in the American League. I mean, there may be National League teams that would consider him as a first baseman. But my guess is that the bulk of the market for Adam Lind would be in the American League. His club options, he's actually got two club options. His 2015 club option is for $7.5 million. His 2016 club option is for $8 million. So we're talking, and there's a $1 million buyout in this year's club option. So in other words, if the Jays don't exercise that option, it costs them $1 million. $7.5 million for a guy who put up his numbers against right-handed pitching is pretty damn good. It's a pretty good, pretty team-friendly contract. So it would stand to reason that a lot of teams would be knocking on the door for Adam Lind. Now, the question to be discussed this morning at 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. You know you've got Adam Lind relatively cheaply for the next 2 years. If you're the Blue Jays, are you looking to move Adam Lind? And as a Blue Jays fan, what do you think happens with Adam Lind? Will we see Adam Lind back next year? Or do you think Adam Lind may be one of the pieces that Alex Anthopoulos moves in order to address some of the other issues facing this team? 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. BJGDB9 on Twitter. Only let Lind go if you can trade him to fill a hole. And he asked the question, does he have enough value to get something good in return? You have to wait and see how the market develops. And keep in mind that when we say teams have contacted the Blue Jays, there's nothing preventing me as a general manager from picking up the phone and saying, hey, Alex, would you consider trading Adam Lind? Yeah. Yeah, we'd look at it. All right, Alex, thanks. Have a good day. Well, does that constitute a call of inquiry? We don't know how far down the road any of these things have gone. So I want to get your take on this. 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. And as always, we have kind of an unwritten rule on the Blair Show that when it comes to talking Jays and when it comes to talking baseball, you could probably sneak in a question about anything you want Jays related. Now, I give you the guidelines, but you know me. I'm not going to answer that question. 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. Chris in Stony Creek, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. What's up, Chris?
Jeff, how are you, buddy? Great
show. I am doing well. Always. Can't wait for the weekend. Can't wait for Game 3. I'm really psyched.
I know. It's a very exciting series, man. I really have to say, I was happy to see Kansas City come back and win that game and make it a series, because I agree with you. I think if they would have gone 2-0 down, we could have been looking at a sweep maybe, you know?
Oh, yeah, it's, I make the point. I didn't think, it doesn't surprise me Kansas City won, but it does surprise me that they won the way they did, especially with Gregor Blanco hitting that home run. When I saw that go out, I was thinking, okay, here we go. It's going to be another whitewash. The good thing is, hey, I'm going to be able to get to bed early because it's going to be over by the second inning. Well, that wasn't the case.
That night. I was surprised today when I saw Adam Lind. Not surprised that teams are looking for him, but surprised that teams haven't come knocking on the door earlier for Adam Lind. But my question to you, Jeff, is if they did make a move with Adam Lind, what kind of player or position player would you want to see coming back that you think could help the Jays?
Oh, I mean, well, I haven't even really thought about that. I mean, in terms of an actual name, I think priority number one, absolutely priority number one, is you've got to come to a reasonable conclusion about whether or not you have a chance to sign Melky Cabrera. I don't think they have a chance to sign Melky Cabrera, but that's me. You've got to make a decision on that. And then when you lose a hitter like Melky Cabrera, you have to take a step back and say, all right, we have just lost a switch hitting number two guy, the bit of pop, our best hitter from day one last year until he got hurt, the guy we eventually just found we couldn't replace, perfect fit in the number two hole, again, switch hitter, easily maintained swing. You've got to take a step back and say, okay, we just lost essentially probably our third most important hitter, maybe our second most important hitter. That's a big hole in the lineup. How do we address that? Then I think you take a look at the market and say, we need to find that commodity. Now, I'm not saying you're going to find another guy that's going to perfectly replace Melky Cabrera, but you've got to find a way to address the gap in your lineup that that loss makes. So what I'm saying is I have to take a step back and say, who can help me? Well, there's this guy. He plays second base. All right, that's a great fit. We'll put him in at second base. Brett Laurie comes back healthy. We will try to get another outfielder to replace Melky Cabrera. We might be able to make this work. Conversely, you take a look and say, all right, I've talked to a number of teams. This guy's available. He plays center field. All right. We'll make a deal for him. I still need a second baseman. Is that going to make my lineup better at the end of the day? Maybe I can fill in here by getting this third baseman and moving Brett Laurie to second. So what I'm saying is, if you're the Jays, you have to address the shortfall, the hole in your lineup that is created by Melky's departure. At least this is how I would approach it. And it's, I'm talking to Alex, I think it's reasonable to assume that that's kind of the approach he would take as well. When you lose a bat like that, it has an impact in your lineup. You're not just losing a left fielder, you're losing one of your very, very, very best hitters. So, and he's got a unique skill set. There aren't a lot of switch hitters like that with that type of swing, with that type of consistency. So now if you're Alex, you got to figure out, what does that do to my lineup as a whole? How do I address that? And if that means adding this guy at second base because he's available, or this guy at third base is available, so I've got to move Brett Laurie to second base, or this guy at first base is available, so I trade for him and Edwin becomes a DH. However it works out, when you lose a guy like Melky, you've got to take a look at what it does to the lineup in general. So I know that's a long answer, but it's a long way of saying I don't know right now who the perfect guy is, because I don't know what hole I'm going to be filling. If I'm simply, if I re-sign Melky, I need a second baseman, then I'm golden. I get a guy who plays second, or I get a guy who plays third, move Laurie to second, boom, Bob's your uncle, we're done. If I don't sign Melky, I've got to get really, really, really creative. And I think in a lot of ways there's a direct connection. If they don't re-sign Melky, and it's kind of odd, if they don't re-sign Melky, they may end up having to move Aaron or Adam Lind to address the situation. But you've got to come to a resolution on Melky Cabrera very quickly. And you can't let Melky Cabrera's status hold up your offseason. At least I don't think you can. Jeff in Toronto, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, Jeff. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
The first thing that came to mind when there's discussion of trading Adam Lind is that I think it'd be really tough to get back more value than you're getting from him already. I mean, to me, he seems somewhat similar to Melky in that he was on a very, you know, very team-friendly contract. Melky put up great numbers for what he was paid last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you know, with Reyes making, what is it, $22 million this year, Burley making over like, north of $16
million. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the team having some level of payroll parameters, whatever they might be, having those guys that are outperforming their contracts are super valuable for this team. And I just think my first impression is that if you lose Melky, which, you know, may happen, then trading Adam Lind, it's going to be really hard to get some guys who are providing you more value than what their contract would indicate.
Right.
So, I mean, like, Lind provides you that financial flexibility, and he also provides you a bit of positional flexibility. He can play first base. He can DH. Not that he's super versatile, but I mean, of course, like I don't think it's a bad idea to be shopping him or to be looking around or taking calls, but I just don't necessarily see how trading Adam Lind makes the team all that much better unless Alex pulls off a super, super duper move.
Oh, it's a great point about cost effective contract. And we've talked about that a lot, because the fact of the matter is going into next year or into next season, the Jays have a couple of contracts that aren't cost effective. I don't think Mark Burley's contract is cost effective. I certainly don't think that Jose Reyes's contract is cost effective, and that's on the verge of becoming really cost ineffective from my point of view. And you're right. I mean, Adam Lind gives you good value for that money. I know he drives people nuts. So people are saying, Jeff, the guy doesn't hit enough home runs. How can you say he gives you value? Well, I'm looking at his career numbers against right-handed pitching. He's .293. His OPS is .860. He's a beast against right-handed pitching. And that has an awful lot of value, because you're going to face more right-handers than you are left-handers. So to me, that has an awful lot of value as a contract. I am just looking something up here about Adam Lind, because I'm wondering if maybe, perhaps, Adam Lind might not be a guy you could use out of the number two spot in the lineup if you lose Melky. He's only had 105 plate appearances batting second. His batting average is .215. His OPS is .670. Let's just pretend Jeff didn't say that, shall we? Tom in Waterloo, you're in Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, Jeff.
How are you?
I see him heading to the National League, actually. He's got to get off the turf. He's been too, you know, on the DL too much.
That's a valid point. I didn't mention that. I just don't know. You know, he's not a butcher at first base. And I guess if you were a National League team and you were going to put him at first base, you would have to do so thinking that the offense he gives you, whether it's because his swing is tailor-made for the ballpark you play in, that the offense he gives you just so overwhelms the issues you're going to have defensively out of that. I don't know, because I think I might be guilty a little bit, Tom, of just assuming that Adam Lind can only be a DH. But you're right. We may be assuming that just because the guy's always hurt because he plays on artificial turf.
Yeah, and I think the grass would help him too. But the National League's such a different game, you know, pinch hitters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just a different game, and I'm sure somebody over there could use a left-handed bat in the corner. I mean, I haven't looked it up, but you know, you might get that second baseman or whatever you want for him.
What, Tom? What if let's play a game here. Let's assume that somehow the Jays do re-sign Melky, which I don't think is going to happen. But let's say they do. What does this team need? You've got Melky re-signed, Tom. What do you, as general manager, absolutely need to do as your next step?
I think the going to gamble is over. I think you need an infielder.
Mm-hmm.
I think you need an infielder. And I think, well, Melky's coming back now at the ticket prices. But from there, I mean, again, from A move to B move, everything changes, doesn't it?
Yeah. It really does.
But I think you got to go get an infielder, because I'm not even sure you can count on Larry.
No, that's a great point, Tom.
With the DL. I mean, we got some DL issues here, and I think that may be Alex's biggest problem this year. Can't you count on these guys?
Well, that's a great point. Thanks for the call. Have a great weekend. I'm guilty of kind of just throwing Brett Laurie in the lineup, right? And at some point, maybe I've got to have one of those sort of come-to-Jesus moments, right? I look at it and go, can I really look at this guy as being somebody who's going to play for me for 140 games? And that's another issue. It's another issue for Alex to think about. I still think that when it's all done, when everything shakes out, somehow Brett Laurie is going to be at second base for this team. There's going to be another third baseman and somebody else in left field. I know there are a lot of people out there that are linking the increase in ticket prices to getting Melky back. But, I mean, I can tell you that I was told the ticket prices were going up at the start of the year, way before any of the injuries happened, way before the Jays were in first place by 6.5 games, way before they fell out of it. It was kind of in the works all along. Aaron and Stovall, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. What's up, Aaron?
Not much, Chef. Waiting for game three. I love watching this playoff baseball. It's exciting. And I can always, if you close your eyes hard enough, the Royals kind of look like the Jays. So,
well, maybe this is, you know, much as the Royals kind of hinted of the Blue Jays' success back in the day, maybe this is a sign. Maybe the fact that the Royals have come back is a sign that the Blue Jays are going to come back. Maybe it's just Friday and I'm guilty of being overly optimistic, which is possible.
Yeah, same. Here's open. It is Friday. My point on Adam Lind is, obviously, we've already mentioned it, that he's playing beyond what his contract is worth. His numbers are great against right-handed hitters. He's a serviceable first baseman. He can DH. I just don't think you get enough value for Adam Lind alone. I think it's part of a bigger move. You'd have to package him with something else of value to get one of those infielders that we're probably looking for. I just sincerely hope we don't, overvalue it and go after a reliever. My opinion on that is that I know we need reliever help, but Alex hasn't done a great job at the pro level of finding those arms since he took over as GM. Now, I think most of the candidates we have in the pen now are internal candidates, and they were in the organization. Esmiel Rogers comes to mind, Francisco Cordero, Frank Francisco, all of these guys.
Frankie McFrank.
Yeah, Frankie Frank. These are guys that Alex seemed to give away a lot for on the field for, you know, a terrible return in the back end. And I think if we're going to use Adam Lind, we probably have to package him with an Anthony Gose or a good top prospect to get something of value on the infield, whether it's a second, whether it's a third, whether we don't feel Dalton's ready and we got to get a left fielder because Melky's going to get top dollar.
Yeah, that's a great point. He may have to be, we used to call it, Dan Duquette's phrase used to be, he might have to be a sweetener. He might be the guy that you throw in a deal to get a deal done. But if Adam Lind's contract is viewed as being attractive by other teams, it would sort of hint that it's probably even more attractive to the Blue Jays. It really is. It's a fascinating situation. I mean, it's a fascinating option for Alex. And I really don't know where you go with it yet. Again, I think it keeps getting back to Melky. I've got to know what I'm doing with Melky Cabrera before I can move on. Here's what I hope doesn't happen. And here's my biggest fear this offseason. My biggest fear is that Melky and his agents let it drag out. And not just, you know, not to get back at the Blue Jays, not to screw the Blue Jays, but that they just need, they let it drag out to get extra money. They let guys, you know, they let teams go after Markakis and Nelson Cruz, you know, and all that. And they keep their, you know, they hang on to, or they don't make a decision until other factors have, other moves have been made. Because my real fear is that the Jays get themselves handcuffed here, waiting for Melky, then all of a sudden having Melky go. And this, again, I can't stress this enough. This is why they needed to get this done during the season. It's why they absolutely needed to do whatever it took to get it done during the season so that you could move forward in the offseason, so that you weren't held hostage by one player or one agent. It's a big weekend of soccer in the Premiership. Those of us who are a little red are absolutely fearful of this weekend and what awaits Manchester United. Rob Harris is AP's EPL reporter, man in the scene in London. Rob Harris will join us. We'll get you set for a big weekend of footy when the Jeff Blair Show continues on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Now Jeff Blair can tell you bedtime stories. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher and listen anytime you want. Sweet dreams. Sportsnet 590, The Fan on demand. Now more of The Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Is that an editorial comment in the show? I'm always suspicious of the amount of thought people put into the music. Sometimes, I'm not saying that there's not enough thoughts, just sometimes I see messages in these things, you know, that, anyhow, big weekend of footy ahead. On the network, Sunday, of course, the biggie, 11:30 a.m. on Sportsnet Ontario. Manchester United gets to have their ass handed to them by Chelsea. 9 a.m. in a game that will probably be infinitely more competitive. Burnley goes up against Everton. I'm just kidding. I like Burnley's chances against Everton more than I do Man U's against Chelsea. I don't like Man U's chances. They could play each other right now. Man U could play themselves and they would lose. Those are the matchups for Sunday. Someplace here amongst the 10,000 pieces of paper, I have Saturday's matchups. I have found them. 9:30 a.m. on Sportsnet Ontario, Liverpool against Hull City. 9:30 a.m. on Sportsnet World, Southampton against Stoke City. An entertaining team. Well, I was going to say Stoke City can be abject at times, but they're actually a little more interesting this year than they've been in the past. Noon on Sportsnet Ontario, Swansea City against Leicester City. And then at 4 p.m. on Sportsnet Ontario, the a FIFA Women's Friendly. This will be a good one. It is number 3 Japan playing number 8 Canada from Edmonton. These teams always, always play entertaining, wide-open matches. That will be a fun match. That is 4 p.m. in Sportsnet Ontario. And by the way, Canadian women's coach John Herdman is scheduled to join us on the Jeff Blair Show at 11:40 ahead of this friendly as the Canadian women continue their preparation for the Women's World Cup, which will be held in Canada, not in Toronto, however, because we have the Pan Am Games. Rob Harris is the Associated Press's man in the scene in England. He is their soccer reporter. And Rob Harris joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Rob, thanks so much for doing this morning.
Good morning.
Why do I think Manchester United is going to get absolutely smoked on Sunday?
I think that's just a sign of the unpredictability moment, isn't it? Mm-hmm. No one can quite forecast what the team does. You know, going forward, they can be this exhilarating attacking unit, but everyone sort of then fears the second the ball goes back into United half, they could get absolutely destroyed.
It was interesting because last year when Jose Mourinho took Chelsea to Old Trafford, the game finished in a draw. As someone who's a Man U fan, I was watching, I was stunned. I mean, I figured Mourinho would go in and just want to absolutely take advantage of Man U, and it almost seemed as if he was a little deferential. And of course, we know the respect he had for Sir Alex Ferguson. Last year was Sir Alex Ferguson's first year of his retirement. I would imagine, Rob, we will see a little different approach from Chelsea this time, won't we?
Yeah, everyone expected so much of that game. Remember, it was David Moyes in charge then. It was his first real big game, big anticipated occasion. And it was a drab 0-0 game, although a 0-0 game that Roy Hodgson, the England coach, said was actually a very exciting game, which people were sort of slightly surprised by. But, you know, this Sunday, you obviously got a different affair, no Moyes, so it's Van Gaal, the man in some ways who taught Mourinho much of what he knew when they were together at Barcelona in the 90s. So it could be a very different occasion.
What do you think happens? What do you think Chelsea does, Rob, if Diego Costa and or Loic Remy isn't necessarily fit? Might we see Cesc Fabregas kind of slot in as almost like a false nine?
It would probably be the most logical prospect. You know, whether or not he does go Mourinho, that is, with Drogba will be an interesting one to watch. Although he scored that penalty in the game the other night, I was at the Champions League game when, of course, we had Remy forced off injured after 15 minutes or so. He just, you know, it provided that nostalgic edge, the fact he scored from a penalty just like he did in the Champions League final 2 years ago before leaving. But, you know, as for what he did in the rest of the game, not really much. So, you know, that's against quite a weak team, Maribor. You know, put him against Manchester United, even though they've got their weak defence, it's a tough proposition for Drogba, who hasn't started a Premier League game since returning. So, you know, using Fabregas, who's been, you know, the revelation, one of the signings of the summer, it can be a real that could maybe provide that devastating touch that could pick through a nervy and quite fickle sort of United defence.
Rob Harris of the Associated Press joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Liverpool and Hull City, that looks to me like a possible trap door for Liverpool. What do you think they do with Mario Balotelli? Might it be time, if you're Liverpool, to maybe look at maybe bringing him off the bench, maybe employing Ricky Lambert more than him? Where would you go if you were Liverpool right now?
You could look at it two ways. You could actually see the fact you've got this Balotelli who's enraged by the criticism he's facing. You know, internally within Liverpool, you've got even Rodgers criticising him now about the shirt swapping the other day. And putting him out there on Saturday, he really could have a real point to prove against Hull. But, you know, we keep on saying that, though. We keep on saying when he joined In the summer, the fact that he can relaunch his career, he can prove everyone wrong, and we seem to be saying every week, you know, this is his chance to show he can do it, and he's got that fire in him. But other times, we just see he just doesn't look like someone who really can be bothered. Whereas you've got Lambert, who obviously has this real affinity and, you know, wants to prove himself at the club, being from Merseyside himself. And, you know, giving him the chance could really be, you know, the man, because they need that win, Liverpool, after what happened the other night against Real Madrid.
Luis Suarez returns to the pitch. Real and Barcelona play in yet another installment of El Clasico. As if this match doesn't need another storyline. But obviously the focus is going to be on Luis Suarez. Rob, what would you expect from Luis Suarez in this match? Would you expect him to hit the ground running, so to speak, and you know, be the guy that he was when he left, or do you think when he was suspended, or do you think there's going to have to be a gradual period of sort of getting used to the ebb and flow of a game?
Well, he has had a few games recently, although if memory serves me right, they were for Uruguay. I think they were against Saudi Arabia, mm-hmm. and Oman. Not exactly the world's toughest opposition compared to the La Liga. But maybe one thing we could guarantee is the fact, surely, even Luis Suarez won't get himself into trouble or sent off in this game, given all the many months of turmoil and disorder, fighting the ban, trying to get it reduced, and shame. You know, he's really got to use this chance to turn his career around. Although just today, new interviews just out in the last hour. He's got a book out, and he's still unrepentant to some degree. He's saying that biting, well, you know, it's bad, he accepts, but he says, but others kick, others break other opponents' nose or punches, and they're worse. So he still has this sense of he is the victim. And if we all think back to the racism case in England a few years ago when he racially abused Patrice Evra at Manchester United, he's saying, I was convicted with no evidence. You know, he's saying, of course, we know the Football Association produced a mass number of documents of evidence. So he's trying to be repentant, but at the same time, he's still reflecting on the past and still thinks he's wronged and is sort of, taking on the world. But I think an exhilarating occasion it will be tomorrow, watching him return, just seeing just what he'll do.
Rob, it's good of you to join us today. Thanks so much. Have a great weekend.
And you.
Take care. That is Rob Harris of the Associated Press. You can follow him on Twitter at Rob Harris. It's a tremendous job covering the EPL for the Associated Press. It's going to be, it's going to be a fascinating weekend of Clasico, Real, Barcelona. As if you need any other angle to that match, the biggest game on earth, as it is referred to. As if you needed any other angle for that, Luis Suarez will be playing. Gareth Bale, by the way, will miss the match. So I'm just doing some quick math here. Bale, Ronaldo, James Rodriguez, Messi, Neymar, and Luis Suarez together, that's 419 million euros worth of football players. 330 million pounds, which I think works out to almost 500 million US dollars, more than 500 million US dollars worth of players, or half a billion if you want to look at it that way. Either way, it's a lot of money. The Leafs get back on the ice tomorrow night. It's Hockey Night in Canada. The big bad, well, maybe the bad Bruins will be their opposition. Not so big anymore. Zdeno Chara out for 4 to 6 weeks with a leg injury. Lyndon Byers is co-host of the Hillman Morning Show on WAAF 97.7 and 107.3 in Boston. He is one of our very, 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 very favorites. Lyndon Byers will join us when the Jeff Blair Show returns on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.